Well, turning your Bibles to John chapter 3. John 3, we're continuing our study of the Gospel of John. And of course, John shows Jesus to be the Son of God, the Savior, and that all who believe in Him, all who trust in Him will have eternal life. We're still in the early days of Christ's ministry. Of course, we're still in John chapter 3. And we're seeing that this morning that John the Baptist shows a contrast between basically his ministry and the ministry of Christ. He says, Jesus is from heaven, and John says, I'm from the earth. We see a powerful statement at the very end of this chapter that all who believe have eternal life, but those who do not believe, those who reject, the wrath of God abides upon them. What is it talking about? We'll see that. As we begin, let me just raise some questions for you to think about. First of all, what is the contrast between John the Baptist and Jesus? We're going to see that Jesus is from heaven and John is from the earth. Then what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? If you're not careful, you'll just pass it, but it talks about giving the Spirit without measure. We'll talk a little bit about the ministry of the Holy Spirit this morning. And then what determines whether a person receives eternal life or wrath? So there's a lot in this passage, and may we see some great truths as we look at God's perfect word. Well, think about this. You know, we make choices every day. I mean, sometimes we're presented daily with decisions and choices to make, and sometimes they're very simple. It's like what time to get up, what clothes to wear, what to eat. Sometimes they're bigger choices. We say things like what job to take, what school to go to, where to live, what person to marry. Some of our choices even deal with the rights and wrongs, and we're confronted with either to obey God and live by His word or to disobey God and His word. Choices all of the time. Sometimes they're little, sometimes they're big, sometimes they're right or sometimes wrong. But there is a choice that each one is confronted with that is the most important decision that we make, and that is, what will you do with Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Him? Do you believe that He died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, and you trust in Him alone for salvation, and by faith you have eternal life? Or will you reject Him, not trust in Him as Savior? As John 3:36 says, that he that believes has life, but the one who rejects has the wrath of God. And so it's very powerful. The truth is this, the most important decision and choice you will make, determines your eternal destiny, and that is, what will you do with Jesus Christ? This morning, John reminds us of that choice and the results. So as we begin, let's think about where we are. We're seeing the ministries really of both John the Baptist and Jesus. They are going on at the same time. John's role is to point out Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. His role is to lift up Jesus Christ. In fact, that's what he talked about last time, because they were coming to him and saying, you know, everybody's going over to Jesus. And John said, that's okay. That's, you know, everybody's been given to, you know, what God has given to us, and my job is to lift Him up. Jesus' ministry, of course, is that He's come as the Messiah and the Savior. He is the King and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and His purpose is to seek and save those who were lost. Well, this morning we're continuing. We're going to see the focus on John talking about Jesus again and about the ministry. Let me just break down the passage. It's not very many verses, but there is a good bit of information in there. In John 3, 31 through 36, we call it John's message about Jesus. We see the contrast between Jesus and John, and that's 31 through 34. And then, what is the response to Jesus, 35 and 36, and we'll see how that ties together. As we begin, think about the flow of the passage. Last couple of times, Jesus is dealing with a religious man by the name of Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night. Jesus told Nicodemus about salvation. He used the famous verse that we all know, John 3, 14 through 18. Right in the middle of that is John 3, 16. He told Nicodemus you had to be born again. Nicodemus didn't understand it. Jesus went back and showed him how that in the Old Testament, all they had to do was to believe. The bottom line is always by faith. He told him that he was going to be lifted up on the cross, and whoever believed in him would have eternal life. And that's what he told him. And of course, the famous verse is that God so loved the world, that's us, that he gave his son, Jesus, to die on the cross and pay for sin, that whoever would believe would not perish, but have eternal life. So it's powerful. After that, the focus turned back to John again. And we saw last time the disciples came to John and said that everybody was beginning to follow Jesus. And John said, that's the plan. That's what they're supposed to do. Look at verse 28 of John 3. He said, you yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He said, that's the plan. I'm not the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah and the Savior. I've just been sent to be the forerunner. I've been sent to be the one to go ahead. And he's the one pointing out Jesus Christ. He made this key statement last week. At the very end is where we stopped, and it's a key for us. Verse 30, he must increase. I must decrease. That's the key. He must increase, but I must decrease. And that's the bottom line for all of us. The whole point of our lives is not to draw attention to ourselves. It is really to lift up Jesus Christ. It is to point out Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. Salvation is in the person of Christ. It's not in a church. It's not in our works. It's not in our righteousness. It's not in what we do. It is in Jesus Christ. He died and rose again. He offers the gift of eternal life. We're pointing people to Christ. And he said his job is to lift up Christ, not himself. As he continues, he's going to make a contrast. And that's what we're going to see beginning at verse 31. He makes a contrast between Jesus and himself. And he basically says this. Jesus is from above. Jesus from heaven. He says, I'm from the earth. There's the big contrast. Jesus is from God. He is God. And John is just a man. That's what he's going to say. Look at verse 31. He says this. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. Now, he's making a contrast between himself and Jesus because that's what they're asking him. This is all in the flow, and they've said, well, Jesus is getting all the glory, and he says, that's fine. He must increase, I must decrease because, see, he's from above, and I'm from below. That's really the issue. So he who comes from above is above all. Look at it. It says, he who comes from above. He's talking about Jesus. See, Jesus came out of heaven. There's something we need to understand, that Jesus Christ has always existed. He's the eternal God, and from all time. In fact, Psalm 90 says, from everlasting to everlasting, they were God. From as far as you can go back is God. As far as you can go forward is God. That's Jesus Christ. He's always existed. He says, but he who comes from above is above all. At exactly the right time, according to Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God brought forth his Son. We'd say it this way, in exactly the right time, God sent his Son into this world. Do you understand? From all eternity, Jesus Christ existed with the Father and the Son, the Father and the Spirit. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then at a point in time in history, Jesus left the glories of heaven and became a human being. Philippians chapter 2 talks about that. Galatians 4:4 says it was exactly the right time. God became a person. He's the God-man. He's not just a man. He's the God-man because he didn't give up his deity. He is a union between the deity and humanity, and he's the God-man. He came to seek and save those who are lost. In John 3:17, he says, for God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him. He says, he who comes from above is above all. He is. In fact, John 16:28, we'll see it later on, he says this, I came forth from the Father, I have come into the world, I'm leaving the world, and going back to the Father. That's what Jesus said. So John is saying, he who comes from above is above all. Now, he is above all. Why? Because he is the Creator. He's God. He's above all in all things. He is God. He's the Creator of all things. Colossians 1:16-17 says, all things were created by him and for him and through him. He is above all things, and all in him all things hold together. John says, he's from above, and he's above everything. Jesus Christ has all authority. At the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He is the eternal God who has all authority. And John says, listen, he's from above and he's above all. He is everything. When he says above all, he's referring to his position, that who he is as God and Creator and all of that, provider, protector. He is everything. Now, then John says, okay, he, the one from above, he's above all. He's talking about Jesus. And then he says, talking about himself, he who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. And so then he turns to himself and he says, I'm of the earth. It means I'm a man. He's of the earth and he speaks of the earth. And when he talks about speaking of the earth, I think I have that the next slide. Yeah, when he says, he's just a man. He says, I'm speaking from the earth. I've been sent by God. I have a mission. When he says, I speak of the earth, he's saying, I have an earthly ministry. Jesus has a heavenly ministry. He has come into the world. But he says, John says, I have an earthly ministry because, see, I'm from the earth and I speak of the earth. He had a mission. His mission was to point out the Messiah. Now that to me is the most amazing thing, because in Matthew 11:11, Jesus said that of all the people ever born, John the Baptist is the greatest. John the Baptist had the ministry of pointing out the Messiah. Have you ever thought about it? From the very beginning, all the way back from Adam and Eve, there's a promise of the seed of woman who's going to crush the head of the serpent. There's a promise of a Savior. And then you get to Abraham, and he's going to have the descendant of Abraham is going to be the Savior. And then Isaac, and then Jacob, and then Judah, and David, and all the way down. And you could say this, well, how are we going to know when he comes? How are we going to know when he comes? Well, John says, I'm the one that's going to tell you when he comes. I'm the one that's going to point him out. I'm the one that's going to tell people, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He says, the one from above is above all, but I'm of the earth, and I'm from the earth, and I speak of the earth. See, John is a man. He was born, he lived, he died. He's a sinner. He needs a Savior, just like all of us. When he says, I speak of the earth, he says, I have my ministry. I'm the forerunner of the Messiah. You remember what he said? He said, I'm not even worthy to take off his shoes. See, that was the job of the lowliest of slaves. Here, take these shoes off. Hey, you, over here, take these shoes off. That's what the lowliest of slaves. John says, I'm not even worthy to be told, take his shoes off. He's from above. I'm from below. Jesus is the eternal God who became a human being. Then he talks about Jesus and his ministry. He says, what he has seen, this is the notice that he ends the verse 31 by saying, he who comes from heaven is above all. He says the same thing again that he said at the start of the verse. He just wants us to make sure he realized he who comes from heaven is above all. He's the eternal God. What he has seen and heard, of that he testifies. And no one receives his testimony. He says, now what he has seen and heard, he has seen and heard what the Father told him to do. He says he's come to the earth and he's come to give the testimony of what he has seen and heard. And what he has seen and heard is God's eternal plan. He has come as God to become a man, to turn to mankind and say, God has a plan to save you, and I'm the one, I'm the Savior, and I want you to believe in me and have eternal life. He has come from God with the message from the Father. He says, the Father sent me into the world. I've come not to do my will, but the will of the Father. He came to bear witness of the Father. Back in John chapter 1, verse 18, it says, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son has made him known, has revealed him. Jesus comes to show us what God is like. You realize that Jesus is God in the flesh. God the Father is a spirit being. John 4:24. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God the Father is a spirit. The Holy Spirit is a spirit. Jesus has a body. Because at a point in time in history, he became a person. When we see Jesus, we see God in the flesh. He says, I'm showing you what God is like. He says, what he has seen and heard, of that he testifies. So he is the one who's comes, and he's come to tell us about the Father. He's come to tell us about the Messiah and the Savior and all of these things. And then notice what he says, and no one receives his testimony. Now that's a general statement. He's saying that as a whole, no one received his testimony, because he's talking about the Jews. John 1:11, he came into his own and his own did not receive him. He's not saying nobody believes, because John believes. And there's already 4 or 5 people following Jesus. And there's other people around him. And he's already got, in a sense, 5 disciples or people with him. And there's going to be more. So it doesn't mean that nobody believes his testimony. But he says it, and no one receives his testimony, because he's saying, as a whole, he's come down and said, I'm the Son of God and I'm the Savior. And as a whole, people go, I don't think so. You know, you might be one of the prophets. You might be John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Later on, they're going to say that, those kind of things. But most did not receive his message. Now, some did, because the next verse, John talks about himself. He says, he who has received his testimony has set his seal to this, that God is true. Now, John says, I've received his testimony. And I tell you this, that what he's saying is truth. Let's think about it for a second. He says that Jesus came and that he testifies of the Father, but as a whole, most people reject him. And that's what we see. It's about talking about the Jews at this time, because he's offered himself to the Jewish people as their Messiah. And we know that he came into his own and his own received his not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name. So some believed and some didn't. So here he is. He says that as a whole, most people don't receive him, but he who has received his testimony, John's talking about himself, has set his seal to this. He says, I'm giving you my stamp of approval. When he says he set his seal on this, that God is true. He says, let me just tell you this. I can tell you that he's right, and that what he says is right. Let me tell you, you and I can walk out this door and we can talk to people in the community, on the campus, no matter where we are, and we can say we have the truth. Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, and he gives the gift of eternal life. And we can say, and that's right. That's the truth. And there are people out there and they'll say, but you got to be willing to do this and do this and do this. And if you don't do this and you don't keep doing this, you can say, that's not the truth. The truth is simple. John says, I've received his testimony and I put my stamp of approval on it. That's his seal. That God is true. You know, he is true. In fact, everything about God is true. Have you thought about this? That the word is truth? John 17:17, thy word is truth. And so as you look at the Bible, it's truth. And if you want to know what's right, just go to the scripture because it's always right because it's truth. You realize the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. That's true there. And that Jesus Christ is called the way, the truth, and the life. So everything about it is true. And he says, look, God is true. This is right. What Jesus says is right. I'm bearing witness of this. I'm certifying. I'm giving you my stamp of approval. This is my seal that he is true. You know, one thing about it, and we've seen it over and over, and you know people. Listen, there are people who believe and people reject, and when people reject the truth, let me just say it in a nice way, when they reject the truth, they will fall for anything. Just look at some of the things those movie stars are following. My gracious, it's a mess. And people follow reincarnation. They're going to say they're going to come back maybe as an animal. I mean, people believe that, and then you see people believing that everything is God. That's pantheism. That means this is God. God's in everything. God's the air. God's. Then people believe that they're God. Shirley MacLaine used to say, I remember going by the beach, and then I realized I am God. That's Shirley's not God, by the way, but she thinks she is. And there's other people who think they are. And if you reject the truth of Jesus Christ, you will believe almost anything. I read some headlines of those grocery store tabloids. Here's what some of them say that people believe. Mom on a diet of only chicken lays a huge egg. World War II bomber found on the moon. Woman gives birth to a 2-year-old baby. Baby walks and talks in 3 days. Adam and Eve's bones found in Asia. Eve was a space alien. There are people who go, well, you know, this could be right. They could have found a bomber on the moon, right? A woman could lay an egg, maybe. I don't know. When people reject truth, they will fall for anything. They'll read L. Ron Hubbard and believe that that's a true religion. They'll believe anything. And you know what the people normally believe? They believe that if you're good, you can get to God. Because they reject the truth that salvation is a gift by faith alone in Christ alone, and they will believe anything else. It is so easy to watch people say, well, it sounds too easy to say it's just faith in Christ, so it can't be that way. They'll fall for anything else. The word is truth. John says, I bear witness this is true, that Jesus speaks the message from God. Look at verse 34. It says, for he whom God has sent, that's Jesus, speaks the words of God. For he gives the Spirit without measure. He says, for he whom God has sent, Jesus, he tells us the words of God. And the way this is written in the Greek, he's talking about the literal words. That when Jesus spoke the words of God, because he is God. He gives us God's message. You know what Jesus said? He said, I am. I am the light of the world. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the bread of life. If you remember that in the Gospel of John, there are 7 signs, but there are also 7 I ams. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the true vine. There they are. He's given us the words of God. You know what he's saying? I am. We're studying the book of Exodus on Sunday nights, and we're about to the place where Moses sees the burning bush, and Moses said, well, God, when I go back and tell them that you sent me, who shall I say sent me? And he says, I am who I am. Tell them I am sent you. I am is the name of God. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, he speaks the words of God. He is the Savior. He is the great I am. Now, there's a statement that John makes just for us to understand, and I want you to see it. He says, He whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he, God, gives the Spirit without measure. I want you to understand that when Jesus Christ lived on the earth, he lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. He lived his life in God's power through him because he's God and God the Holy Spirit through him. But notice what he says, and in fact he says he gives the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, without measure. What in the world does that mean? It says there's no limitation. There's no limitation. The power of the Holy Spirit is the power of God without any limitation. Now, when we start talking about the Trinity, and we always say the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, everybody talks about the Father, and they say, yeah, God the Father, Father, he created everything. We pray to God the Father. And then everybody talks about Jesus, and we say, oh, we love Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. He's everything. And then when you talk about the Spirit, you go, I don't know much about the Spirit. You know, there's a reason you don't know much about the Spirit. First of all, the Spirit didn't come to talk about himself. The Spirit came to talk about Christ. So anytime somebody's lifting up Holy Spirit only, that's not from God, because the Holy Spirit lifts up Jesus, same like John did. Now, but I want to do something for you just real quickly. I want you to think about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, okay? And we're just going to see something briefly. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, he deals with both believers and unbelievers. Let me tell you, first of all, the ministry of the Holy Spirit with the unbelievers is conviction. It's John 16, 8 through 11. It says, when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin because they have not believed, righteousness because I go to be with the Father, and judgment because the prince of the age has been judged. Now, here's what he's saying. He's saying the Holy Spirit convicts the world of the fact that they have not believed in Jesus Christ. That's what he says. Sin that they have not believed in me. So the Holy Spirit's ministry to the world, that's to every person, is to convict them that they have not believed in Christ. There are a lot of people who think that the Holy Spirit convicts people of particular sins, like I'm a liar and I've done this. When the Holy Spirit is convicting a person, it's that they have not believed in Christ. So always stay on the gospel message when you're talking to people. Stay on the issue of what will they do with Christ? Will they believe in him? Because that's what the Holy Spirit's conviction. Now, the moment a person believes in Christ, now, here is what the Holy Spirit's ministry, go ahead to the next slide. At the moment of salvation, here's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit regenerates, baptizes, gifts, seals, and indwells. Now, let me explain those very quickly to you just so you got them. The first one is the Holy Spirit regenerates. That's being born again. We already saw that at the first of the chapter when he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. We come into the world spiritually dead. He makes us spiritually alive. So the moment you believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit takes you from death to life. He makes you spiritually alive. The second thing that he does is he baptizes you. And a lot of people get confused on that. We're not talking about water baptism. Baptism means to be in union or to identify. He takes us and actually places us in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into one body. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ. And so the second thing that he does, and this all happens just like that, so it's not like it's a steps or anything, but he, first of all, there's a regeneration. Second, there's a baptism which we're placed in Christ. Third, he gives us spiritual gifts. Every believer has at least one spiritual gift. You may have more than one. That happens at the moment you believe in Christ. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 that the Holy Spirit is the one who gives gifts. The fourth thing we see, he seals us, and that means makes us secure, that he places us in Christ, and we're secure forever. It's the Holy Spirit that keeps us safe. And then last but not least, he indwells us. He comes to live inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, what, you do not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? So when you think about it, the Holy Spirit is there, and he regenerates, he baptizes, he gifts, he seals, and indwells. That all happens the moment you believe. So before you believe, the Holy Spirit is convicting you. The moment you believe, he regenerates you, baptizes you, gifts you, seals you, and indwells you. And then what does he do day in and day out in the Christian life? He fills us for power. That's why the Bible talks about walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Be filled with the Spirit. He also teaches us and illuminates the Scripture. He helps us to understand and apply the Word of God. There's other things as well. I didn't want to go into a lot of detail, but the Holy Spirit is the one that, as you're studying the Scripture, he illuminates the Scripture. As you walk this Christian life, he gives you the power. And so he says, all the statement here is the God gives the Spirit without measure. It is true. I just wanted you to see a little bit about the ministry of the Spirit. We'll see more as we go through the book. There's going to be more things about the Holy Spirit. In fact, when you get over into the upper room discourse and Jesus talks about him leaving, he's saying, I'm leaving, but I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you by yourself. The Spirit of truth is coming. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And so we'll see more of that as we get there. Then he says this in verse 35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. So often we think about God's love for us, but you realize that God loves the Son as well. God so loved the world, but God also loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. You know, He died and rose again. He's from heaven. He has all authority. He speaks God's word. He's loved by the Father. Everything about Him is amazing. Listen, He's given all things into His hand. You know what He's given into His hand? He is the Savior and the Judge. Both things are into His hand. If you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, He's your Savior. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is your Judge. Every knee will bow before Jesus Christ, both believers and unbelievers. Believers will stand before Jesus Christ and be rewarded. Unbelievers will stand before Jesus Christ and be separated. We'll talk more about that in just a second. He takes us now to one of the great statements in the Scripture, John 3:36. He says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." It takes us back to the truth that whoever believes in Christ has eternal life. Look at verse 36. He says, "Whoever believes," 98 times in this book, He says, "believe." Whoever trusts in Him has eternal life. Salvation is a gift, and it is by faith. We've already seen in John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even those who believed in His name. We've seen in chapter 2, verse 11, that His disciples believed in Him. We've seen in chapter 2, verse 23, that many believed in His name. We've seen John 3:16, whoever believes. John 3:18, whoever believes. Now John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. I want you to listen carefully. Whoever believes has eternal life. Now, there's two things about eternal life you must know. Number one, that eternal life means, get ready, it means eternal life. That is life that lasts forever. If a person said to you, "Well, you can believe in Jesus and get eternal life, but you could lose it," then you didn't get eternal life. You got life for a while. Eternal life is life that is eternal. It is an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. The moment you believe in Christ, you receive eternal life, and it is an eternal relationship that cannot end. So understand that. Number two, that eternal life begins the moment you believe. John 5:24. "Truly, truly, I say to you, hears my word and believes Him who sent me has," present tense, "has eternal life." Eternal life is not something you get when you die. Eternal life is what you get when you believe. You get an eternal relationship the moment you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's why He says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. He goes on to say, "But who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him." There's a little confusion there, because sometimes when people see the word obey, they think, oh, you have to do good or you won't go to heaven. No, He's using the contrast between believe and obey. It's a Greek word called pytho, which actually means to reject or disbelieve. He actually says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who rejects the Son will not see life, or who does not believe the Son, or who does not obey. See, the obeying is to believe. What does He want us to do? I mean, think about it. To reject is the idea to disbelieve. Look at the next slide. What does He really want us to do? He wants us to believe. He says, I want to obey God. Okay, obey God. Believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's how He's using it in this passage. Now notice this. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you get eternal life that exact moment. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, if you reject Him, if you do not obey, as He says here, which means to believe in Him, you will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on Him, on you. Now, what is the wrath of God? Because people are so confused, and they think God is some kind of mean God waiting up there just to say, I'm going to smush you, and if you don't do exactly what I want, if you don't believe in me, I'm crushing you. The wrath of God is separation. The wrath of God is separation. You either live forever or you die forever. You either live forever in an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ or you die forever separated from Christ for all eternity. I read this the other day. It said the wrath of God is greatly misunderstood. Many think invariably it is some sort of peeved deity, terrible tempered, who indulges in violent display of temper. So I'm going to give you my wrath. And that's not what He's talking about. The wrath of God is that you can't be with Him. Because you're not righteous. Because when you believe in Him, you get righteousness. When you believe in Him, you get the forgiveness of sins. The unbeliever doesn't have that. He who believes has life forever. He who rejects dies forever in separation. So powerful. Believe, you have eternal life. Reject, you're destined for wrath. Where are you? I know almost all of you in this room, so I know where most of you stand, but there's some I don't know. Have you believed in Jesus Christ and that you have eternal life? Because the moment you believe in Him, you have eternal life. Or have you not believed and you're destined for separation unless you believe in Jesus Christ before you die? And I wouldn't take any chances because you don't know when you're going to die. But unless you believe in Jesus Christ before you die, you will be separated from Him forever. That's truth. That's what John says. That's what Jesus says. That's what the Word of God says over and over again. Great truth. What have we seen this morning? We've seen John shows the contrast between the ministry of Jesus and his ministry. He says Jesus is from above heaven and John's from the earth. He says that Jesus speaks God's Word, that He's the Savior. He said, John said, I'm just the forerunner. I point out Jesus. But we see that the key is whoever believes has life. Whoever doesn't believe has wrath and separation. So let me give you some applications. So let's do this. Number one, let's proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, this is our responsibility, those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, is to proclaim Him. A, is realize that Jesus came from heaven to fulfill His mission as Savior. The Father sent the Son into the world. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. He gave Him to leave the glories of heaven and come to this earth. He is from above and He is above all. We need to make sure that we realize that He is the Savior. He is the eternal Son of God. Second, let's proclaim that all who believe in Christ have eternal life. Don't mess it up. Don't add to it. Don't change it. You don't have the right to change it. I don't have the right to change it. We don't have the right to tell people they need to walk down an aisle, give their life to Jesus, be willing to do this, keep on doing this. You don't have the right to change the message. It is faith alone and Christ alone plus nothing. And people change it all the time. And one day they'll stand before their Savior if they've trusted in Christ and they're going to be accountable for the message they gave. You are accountable. You and I are accountable for the message that we give. And in the Gospel of John, 98 times He says, faith, 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 faith. We should give that message. So let's be clear. All who believe in Him have eternal life. It is that simple. It's a gift. The third thing is this. Realize that there are consequences to those who reject. There are. They're going to be separated from God forever. It's the saddest thing ever. Because they don't have to be. It's not that they hadn't done enough. They haven't taken the gift. The wrath of God. We come to God not because of what we do, but because of what Jesus Christ has already done. The second application is just think about this. Understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we just touched on it this morning, and maybe you wrote some of those things down. I've got a study if you want to go on the website. There's a study that I think it's a pretty long study on the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts all put together. And so you could look at that if you want to. But there's a lot of information there about what the Holy Spirit does before we're saved, what the Holy Spirit does at salvation, what the Holy Spirit does in what we call our Christian life. So it takes some time to do that. And understand He convicts the world when we believe. He makes us alive and secure. He empowers us and teaches us. May we tell others the good news message of Jesus Christ that is simply by faith in Him, knowing that all who believe have life and all who reject are destined for separation. May we be faithful to tell others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the passage, Lord. It is so true. We do not have the right to change it. It's whoever believes has eternal life. So, Lord, would You use us to tell people that? Thank You, Lord, that we realize that You sent Your Son from heaven as the Savior, that Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven to become a person so He could die on the cross and pay for our sins and be the Savior. Lord, we need to proclaim to people that it's faith in Christ for eternal life and realize that those who reject will be separated. Lord, would You use us to tell the message clearly and in love, that they can have the gift of eternal life by faith. Lord, thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit who convicts the world, who when we're saved changes us, regenerates us and all of that, and then empowers us daily and has a ministry there as well. May we understand that. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word, how perfect it is. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.